This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I came across this funny little cartoon, and I'll try to picture it for you. So it's a little cartoon, and it's set in the time that we would encounter Jesus and his disciples, and it's a disciple we are going to assume here is Simon Peter, and he's at what back then would have been let's say Office Depot getting some cards made up, some business cards. And so the person behind the counter hands him the cards and goes, "Here you are, sir, Simon, disciple of Jesus." And then in the next frame, he walks over and he encounters Jesus, and Jesus says, "From now on, you will be known as Cephas, as Peter," after he just had his cards made up. So it's a funny little cartoon, but in other words, but what it does really thing is talk about how we are named, in Jesus Christ. And as I was looking at the scriptures today, we continue into what are essentially, there are 10 days of the church year where we talk about the Epiphany. Epiphany meaning the word that means revealed or revelation. In other words, when people realized that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah. And so our first Epiphany is when the Magi come and encounter Jesus and bring him three gifts, which we often celebrate at the time of Christmas. But we continue this story leading up to Ash Wednesday, which is a season of Lent in the church year. But each Sunday we encounter more and more about how Jesus was revealed to other people that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. And today we encounter our good friend, John the Baptist, again. Why do I say good friend? Because John the Baptist is the patron saint of us here at St. John's Episcopal Church. Which I think is fitting for those of you who have been around and in this community for a long time. John the Baptist, right? He was the wild hair hippie out in the wilderness, pointing people towards the one who is to come. Versus John the Evangelist, right, which is the one who went out and spread the gospel. And I always thought how fitting that John the Baptist was our patron saint. A bunch of ragamuffins from all different walks of life, surrounded by beautiful water, who love to be outdoors, who can appreciate the community that we are in, and that brings so many different gifts and unique talents as we gather together as a community. My friends, I've never been part of a community that has had more artists, more teachers, people from all walks of life who travel and explore, who grew up, moved away, came back. But there is an eclectic mixture here that I believe we are called to live into this identity as we sit under the banner of St. John the Baptist. But what does that mean? So as St. John the Baptist, we encounter him today after he has baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And I sort of imagine Jesus is walking around and John the Baptist is over there, you know, sort of like a celebrity sighting. "Look, there he is." But he says, "Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." What does that mean? Take away the sin of the world. Now, I'm guessing in those days, maybe those words would resonate with the people there. In these days, as we enter into 2023, I do have to ask, what does that mean? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John the Baptist sees Jesus and he walks by, and then we hear that later on again, there he goes again. Look, there he goes. Jesus, Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. Clearly, this means something to our dear friend, John the Baptist. But the gospel writer who wrote this story, the gospel according to John, See, this gospel was written after all of these events had taken place. This gospel was written after Matthew, Mark, and Luke had written their stories and were read by others. This gospel was written near the end of the first century. And so the gospel writer is less focused on what actually happened, which we heard last week, John baptizing Jesus, the dove descending, and he's more concerned with what it means and what it points to. John the Baptist continues to point to and point out who Jesus is. That's the epiphany, the continued idea that we are continued to be revealed who Jesus is. And as we read each story every Sunday, we'll continue to hear stories about how Jesus was revealed to be the Son of God. But John the Baptist was the first. And he said, I was told that the one whom the Spirit descends is the one who is to come after me. There's a lot about the Holy Spirit when we talk about John the Baptist. I like to tell people that when the Holy Spirit moves, chaos ensues. And if you've been around St. John's Episcopal Church long enough, you would agree that sometimes chaos is flying around. But it's because the Holy Spirit is alive and well. And what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to descend and to linger and to take away the sin of the world? In our other readings today in Isaiah and in the Psalms, we hear this devout and excited and loving response to the work that God has done. I love to do your will, O God, says the psalmist, that your law, your desire is deep, deep within my heart. That when we trust in the Lord is where we find true happiness. And that we don't have to resort to evil spirit or turn to false gods, because when we reside deep in the love of God, we will find true happiness and joy. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. You know what a podcast is? So imagine back in the day, like an old radio show, where you'd have a talk show, but you hear it, you know, it's like an audio. Well, the reason I like podcasts is A, because some of them are really good, and it's almost like watching a TV show, but you don't have to be sitting on the couch. You can be doing laundry and mowing the lawn. So I came across a series of podcasts where these other podcasts kept pointing me towards them. And what I discovered, and I don't know how big of a problem it is, if it is a problem, but that there are a lot more people that are looking for this idea of love and patience and acceptance and desire. And they're looking to these very strange places to have it fulfilled. Now, I am a practitioner of meditation, and I appreciate yoga. But more and more people are turning to these leaders and practitioners to tell them how to find true joy and happiness. And they follow them as if they are the ones that are the Lamb of God, who take away the sin of the world. And they believe in their words, which are good. But yet in the end, they find that there is still an emptiness there. That there's still something missing. Now, I do not believe that these leaders are evil or even false gods. But they are offering something that the world desires. Somewhere along the way, from St. John the Baptist to Simon and Andrew to 2023, we've forgotten to invite people to come and see. Come and see who this Christ is. And maybe part of the challenge is we have forgotten what it means to follow Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis writes in his Screwtape Letters, if you're not familiar with the Screwtape Letters, I'll try to sum it up for you. Essentially, Screwtape is C.S. Lewis's fictional character for, let's say, the evil spirit, or the one who is trying to distract, the one who's trying to pull us away from goodness. And he calls the enemy would be God. The enemy would be the spirit of a loving God. The enemy would be following Jesus Christ. And he writes to his nephew, Wormwood. Leave it to C.S. Lewis to come up with crazy names. He writes to his nephew because his nephew is in training. His nephew is in training on how to pull people away from goodness, how to keep them miserable. And so the Screwtape Letters are essentially Screwtape writing to his nephew about how to continue to work on this one particular individual. And as we progress through the letters, and they're quite funny, I invite you to read them. Quite clever. First of all, Screwtape's, okay, so we're a little disappointed that he joined a church. All right, well, the best thing to do is to have him go explore other churches and find the one that suits him best. Because, see, that way he gets to decide who those are around him. And he gets to decide what his body of Christ looks like, which may or may not actually be his neighbors. So let's start there. Have him be disgruntled with his neighbors. And of course, the letter goes on and on and on, and eventually Screwtape and his nephew Wormwood have relinquished. The man is saved. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. He seeks to live a holy life. And they move on to the next one. But one of the things that I took away from some of the chapters around when the man decided to join a church is that the church, when I say church, I don't mean this building. I mean the body of Christ, those people who are out in the world, believers and followers of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When the church seeks to minister, the church is designed, we are here to minister to this day. We are called to be faithful to this day. But as the body of Christ, we are called to wait in hope. And my friends, I believe that more than anything, that is what people need now is hope. That's why they are clamoring to find someone who can tell them how to live a life worth living, that someone can help them heal from the wounds that they have encountered, that someone can help them be comfortable in their own skin. The world needs hope. And that hope is what John the Baptist is pointing to today. What does it mean to take away the sins of the world? Well, in its broad context, a sin is anything that keeps us away from the love of God. And throughout the centuries, there have been lots of labels on what sin is. And part of me wonders if this deep desire to join these movements of awakening or enlightenment is that the deepest sin is to not love oneself. That it's hard to imagine that an all-loving God could actually love me. That I am lovable. But my friends, we have Jesus. And from this, the true nature of Jesus is loving and kind. The symbols of water and dove and light, those are the things that point to Jesus. Not judgment, not despair, not fear, not even sorrow. So as we think about what it means to be a follower, or thinking about what it might mean to become a follower of Jesus Christ, what is the hope for a future day? Someone once said, and you all may remember, the "what would Jesus do?" The bracelets, the WWJD, what would Jesus do? But I read, it might be better to consider, what would John the Baptist do? And John the Baptist, my friends, over and over and over would live a life that points to the hope in Christ. That points to the idea that God loves us so much that he wanted to live among us and to show us God's true nature. Jesus lived as a human being. He had friends and relationships. He felt pain and sorrow. There is no emotion, I believe, that Jesus did not experience in his time with us here on earth that is not across the human spectrum. A true idea of putting oneself in another's shoes. So, my friends, as we think about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, may we also seek to be and live into the call of John the Baptist, that our lives, that our words, that our hopes, that our desires point to Jesus Christ as the way. Amen.